Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to Revolution Radio. It's Wednesday, May 25th, 2011, and I'd like to welcome everyone who's listening from all the way, wherever you are. Welcome our military members, currently serving, past serving, and would like to throw out a little, first of all, thank you to Jerome Corsi for being on the stand and really moving to get this information out about Obama. excuse me. This evening I'd like to do a couple of things. First of all, is to really talk about and begin the process of developing a constitutional civic action plan. I think it's fair to say that right now we know we cannot vote the corruption out, and I'd like to read to you an article on that very subject. We've really exhausted so many means, and you know it's just not working. We're going to have to think about something else to do, and to have it be as our founders laid it out for us. There are ways we can do this, without bloodshed by demanding, but we now need numbers. It's not enough now to just be thinking about it. So there's got to be a civic action plan, and it can't all be everyone goes to one place at one time. So I'd like to kind of talk about that, where the Continental Congress left off on a civic action plan in 2009. The next thing I'd like to do is to play the Corsi interview from yesterday on the Alex Jones show. Because of the particular examination of the Kenyan documents, which were done by the Bush administration, and I want to raise some questions in there about who knew what, when, and put together a string of events that might begin to unravel who was really a part of letting this happen and how long this has been going on with the usurper. So I'd like to play that interview and then talk about it. And then there's another interview with Jerome Corsi today that I'd like to play, that's today, that I'd like to play, which sort of shows him addressing some of the questions that you hear. Oh, he's the first black president. Nothing's ever going to happen. He's already the president now. I mean, isn't this a waste of time? The questions were coming from a friendly questioner, but they were exactly the kinds of questions that your neighbors and, you know, relatives and other people are just going to say when they realize how much hard work it's going to be to remove this corruption. So those two interviews, and then finally, would like to finish up with just a discussion on a vision of how we can replace our entire Congress, the Senate, and the House through essentially our rights under the First Amendment for, quote, assembly and petition. And I will be picking up on that theme over the next few weeks as we now begin to develop the program that we need to. So anyway, yes. Hello, Arizona Conservative, Echo Fox Trot, how are you? And guests, hello, wish you'd sign in, but that's okay. There is a very key issue. Well, let's start first with this issue of not being able to vote out corruption. We had a very promising set of people who were quote-unquote Tea Party candidates, but all of them have said nothing about the usurpation. All of them have dissed it. We had Terry Lagan released from jail a week ago. Hello, Terry Lagan. If you're listening out there, welcome home and congratulations and thank you forever for everything that you've done for us. And we're wishing you the best, and I hope to have you on Revolution Radio sometime soon when you have a chance. In any case, Alan West has not stood up for Terry Lagan. I don't know if you know, but Alan West went through a court martial and had the same attorney that Terry Lagan did, Neil Puckett. And although West can say in public hearings and so forth and so on that he'd like to ask Obama what passport he used when he traveled to Pakistan, which clearly gives some indication that he knows there's a problem here, they're silent on this issue. West is a part of the Armed Services Committee. So we've got to now begin to start working those people. Why has there not been any hearing or any investigation into how Terry Lagan went to jail for 6 months and then Obama releases this monstrosity of a forgery and so forth? If there were even one investigation by the Armed Services Committee regarding Terry Lagan, Obama would have to produce a piece of paper. And that piece of paper would have to be examined. Even if he wasn't, and there was an accepted electronic document, that thing is so full of holes, it wouldn't fly. What then do you conclude from there? That would then move it on up to whatever process needs to happen. It would be very clear. Any one of the investigations that would happen on any one aspect of Obama, his Social Security fraud, his Selective Service, his forged birth certificate, so forth and so on. Any one of these things is going to force him to put out his documents. And so what gives? I don't think there's any excuse for Congress. When they all sat there on January 9th, 2009, and let this happen, they all became complicit to the usurpation of the presidency. None of them, and even this new class, should be in their offices right now if they can't deal with this major constitutional issue. And we're not going to be able to vote them out. That's the problem. This corruption is deep. We've seen it everywhere. Obama manufactured legal precedent of standing and timing, which now prevents all of us from filing any kind of lawsuit questioning his eligibility. You have to be a candidate. Do any of these Republican candidates, even the smooth-talking Herman Cain, have any idea of any inkling of raising this issue? Will any of those candidates challenge Obama in the primary on his qualifications? You know, these are things that they won't do, but these are things we must begin to force and so forth. Just hang on one second here. I'm going to do just a couple of housekeeping issues. Thank you. Goodbye, Charlie the Tuna. Hi, Dame. How are you? Nice to see you. All right. So now we'll move on from there. I wanted to read for you a very good read today in the Post and Email, and it's from a Jack the Marine. And Jack the Marine basically is asking the question, so now what? Is Barry Sotero guilty of treason and fraud against America? I guess even using his name Barry Sotero up there with fraud and treason just proves it. Jack the Marine laid out the Declaration of Independence principally along the lines of the grievances that were listed. And the grievances, the long train of abuses, sound exactly like where we are today. The repeated injuries and usurpations, do they sound too eerily familiar? Calling all critically thinking American patriots, our once great Republican bastion of freedom for the world is being forced over the edge of a precipice, which I completely agree. America has been completely infiltrated by an evil Marxist communist Islamic destroyers from the office of the president, the Department of Justice, the SCOTUS, and all the way down through state governments and courts, even to some county sheriffs. Apparently, corruption does run downhill, and let's not forget that they own and control the main sleaze media. That's a new one, but certainly fits. Most American citizens were raised on television or completely programmed to accept whatever propaganda that spews forth from the pie holes of the traitorous media talking heads. The coup is now complete. The U.S. Constitution and rule of law are completely disregarded, and the ugly reality is that we the people have absolutely nowhere to go for redress of grievances. So the time for writing letters, faxes, emails, calling, signing, sending petitions, going to town hall meetings, filing endless eligibility or treason lawsuits, even voting in elections, the results of which are foregone conclusions due to voter fraud and electronic voting machine manipulation, is over. Ever wonder how Reid and McCain could ever have been reelected? All they do is sit and laugh at us and send, if anything, insulting responses to our legitimate grievances. Every one of our concerns fall on deaf, corrupted ears. We, the people, have been completely marginalized and are deemed insignificant by our so-called elected representatives. The will of the people is simply a joke to these elitist scum. This evil, totally corrupt government must be replaced with extreme prejudice if this nation is to survive at all. We all know Sotero is constitutionally ineligible. We know he is guilty of treason and fraud. We know all of the COLBs, and the most recent one, are all electronically manipulated forgeries. We know the usurper is using fraudulent social security numbers. We know he is committing a long list of felonies. We know. The problem is the coup is complete and the enemy is fully entrenched. It doesn't matter if we have 100% rock-solid, irrefutable proof. None of the lower courts, the DOJ, or the SCOTUS are going to hear it. No elected, complicit criminal official is going to listen. The alphabet law enforcement agencies will not listen. The military will not listen. The media certainly will not listen. They have all been corrupted, coerced, or threatened into submission. We cannot vote out the corruption. Let me say that one more time for effect. We cannot vote out the corruption. The traitors, Scott Brown, Alan West, and the 112th Congress are proof enough of that. There is absolutely no difference between Republicans and Democrats. They are all selected, vetted, inserted, and ultimately controlled by the same elitist scum. I'll say it again. We the people have absolutely nowhere to turn for redress of grievance. Nowhere. Now for the million-dollar questions. How do we, the people, remove, arrest, and convict Barry Sotero? How do we arrest, convict, and replace the entire treasonous, complicit government and the media? How do we restore the constitutional rule of law in the republic? I don't know yet. What I do know is that these things must be done now. Let me insert right here that if you're talking about this, we're not talking about accomplishing this in a year. We're talking about the next 10 to 15, if not 20 years, of constant vigilant work on our republic to root out and replace all of these people who have been treasonous to our government. We have to restore the constitutional rule of law. That's why this is a civic action plan that's going to have to be long-term. Okay, back to the article, Jack the Marine. What I do know is that these things must be done now. We have to start this now. That is the point of this editorial. To begin to focus the indomitable American spirit and intellect on what must be done now, figure it out and get it done now, without violence and bloodshed while we still can. After all, the writers and the readers of the Post and Email and all the other constitutional websites, blogs, and forums, the people who are awake, aware, and get it, are the sheepdogs. It's up to us to figure out how to get it done now before it's too late. So what's a sheepdog, do you ask? Does anyone have a border collie? Or an Australian shepherd? There you go. Back to the article. Here is a nasty little secret that Barry Sotero and his handlers don't want you to know. We the people have all the power. Yes, that's right. We just don't realize it. We have been deceived in believing that the federal government has all the power, as the wimpy little wizard behind the curtain in The Wizard of Oz. There are over 300 million sovereigns in America versus 535 corrupt officials in the District of Criminals. Even if you added in all of their evil minions and their numbers rose to 535,000, it would still be an easy route for an enlightened we the people. So therein, I suggest, lies the answer to restoring the public. Big numbers, huge numbers, galactic-sized numbers. We, the people, sheepdogs en masse, with at least 60 millions of serious, dedicated, fearless patriots who will gain great strength and conviction from each other's presence. Combine these huge numbers of the great American spirit with something called an Orange Revolution, and we may have the key to regaining our Republican destiny. Now, serious credit needs to be given to the tens of thousands of hard-working, dedicated, fearless patriots who have worked nonstop for the last 3 years to expose the ineligibility of Barry Sotero and corruption on all levels of government. To all of them, we extend our heartfelt gratitude and appreciation. We would not be winning this war without them. Thanks to all of you for all you do for America. Having said that, the observation could be made that this huge, powerful source of intellectual energy has of late been focused on the seemingly infinite minutia of the latest fraudulent birth certificate or social security number details. By all appearances, this known-to-be-fraudulent LFBC was intentionally released to confuse and distract the opposition. Meanwhile, Barry Sotero and his evil minions go merrily about their business of destroying America with the full protection and immunity by the Department of Justice. They don't even care that it's fraudulent. I'll possibly catch a lot of heat for that comment, so just hear me out. We all know that there is by far enough evidence against Barry Sotero to warrant a congressional investigation with full subpoena power. However, all quote-unquote normal avenues for redress, as stated previously, have been co-opted, corrupted, or threatened into complicity. Maybe now is the time to start looking at ways to arrest and convict Barry Sotero and his criminal cabal who are outside the norm. Think outside the box and get very aggressive with it. I am by no means suggesting that anyone quit fighting the usurper on all fronts. Non-NBC status, fraudulent COLBs and the long-form birth certificate, fraudulent social security numbers, fraud, treason, etc., etc. What is being suggested is that it may be time to simultaneously start looking at how to use our power, big numbers, to achieve the end game, which is the removal, arrest, and conviction of Barry Sotero and all those complicit in treason and fraud against America. We must always be looking for additional ways to fight smarter and more effectively. Trump showed us what can happen when you have national traction. The original Tea Party march on D.C. had some big numbers. However, it was downplayed by the state-controlled media and was ultimately ineffective and dismissed by the D.C. criminals. Why? Because they left and went home and were soon forgotten. Out of sight, out of mind. If we were to lock down D.C. repeatedly or permanently, then our voice would be heard very loudly and clearly, and our redress of grievance would be taken seriously. There would be no way we could be ignored. Think about it. So, as stated previously, the We the People sheepdogs have all the power. We just have to assert it, use it effectively, focus it intelligently, and we can win back the Republic. And I believe in my heart that at this point it can be done peacefully. However, if we don't focus our collective power now, if we wait too much longer, maybe not so much. Time is of the essence, and again, we are being forced over the precipice. There are tens of thousands of extremely intelligent We the People sheepdogs from all walks of life, all seeking the truth on the internet. There is no denying that there is a great strength and wisdom in great numbers. I am only one person and do not presume to have the answers. I am simply putting forth this idea of using our greatest strengths as Americans, which include, but are not limited to, our indomitable American spirit, our superior intellect, our fearlessness, and our unbounded creativity. I just want to plant a reminder of what great stock all Americans come from. We are a great and fearless people who have and will again move mountains to remain free and strong. So now all of you honorable Americans, if you deem it to be worthy, take this idea and brainstorm it, run with it, and forge it into something so powerful that it can never be denied, something so righteous and true that evil will scurry away from it like roaches from sunlight. Here are a few suggestions that may help get the ideas flowing, which are certainly dynamic and not all complete. Hang on one second. Yes, good evening all. Just checking back into the chat room. Here are the suggestions. Objective 1, remove, arrest, and convict Barry Sotero and anyone else guilty of treason, fraud, or misprison of treason or fraud against America. And 2, secure the Republic. How to attain this objective? Number 1, organize a committee of citizens to execute a citizen's arrest of Barry Sotero backed up by thousands of military, law enforcement, and citizen soldier personnel loyal to the U.S. Constitution. 2, organize a military coup backed up by thousands of military, law enforcement, and citizen soldier personnel loyal to the U.S. Constitution. Create a formal list of criminal charges, including evidence for Sotero, Holder, Pelosi, Reid, etc., in order of severity. 1, treason, 2, fraud, 3, forgery document, 4, various felonies, etc., etc. Our many fine patriot legal minds would be invaluable here. Muriel Puzo, Leo D'Onofrio, Philip Berg, Dr. Orly Tates, and also Bob Schultz of We the People Foundation and the Articles of Freedom. 4, we the people sheepdogs will need a leader who isn't a politician. We will need a fearless, constitutionally committed leader. It recommends Ann Barnhart, Alan Keyes, Lieutenant Colonel Lakin, one of our fine retired military men, perhaps Sheriff Mack or Pastor Chuck Baldwin. I'm just throwing out ideas here, maybe all of the above, or a team of leaders, or a network of leaders. Jump in here anytime with anyone you feel has the moral fortitude and grit to lead this government. We will need to network, utilizing all available communications technology to start and maintain the en masse movement and ongoing operations of We the People, Sheepdogs. Also, contingency plans should be put into place for alternative forms of communication. Should Barry Sotero decide to cut the internet. We will need active duty, veteran, and retired military and law enforcement personnel and security professionals to step forward and help train the civilian in confrontation avoidance and de-escalation techniques. They will also be charged with general security operations to the movement. We will need to be prepared to implement possible coordinated national strikes, local and national sit-ins, and to lock down D.C. repeatedly for extended periods or possibly permanently. This will be tough, so maybe we can organize support relief teams to protest in shifts. We will need to dig deep to find the resolve to pull off an orange revolution. So what? Do we want to be free men and women or slaves? Are our children depending on us for their future? Is Western civilization depending on us as the last bastion for individual liberty and freedom? Do we not need to secure America from the threat of Islam? Do we not need to secure our northern and southern borders? These imperative operations and so much more can only be accomplished after the republic is secured. There will be many who say, I have work, or this or that. Fine, just get out of the way and we will carry your load. When the destroyers collapse the country, your job won't be there anyway. 8, one of the largest hurdles will be to overcome the conditioned apathy, soft tyranny, and oppression, and to organize the solidarity and big numbers necessary to achieve the objective. I truly believe in the spirit, courage, resolve, and ingenuity of the American people. Additionally, any critically thinking American can no longer deny that we have been completely infiltrated by a vile, cancerous mix of Marxist, communist, Islamist, American-hating, criminal thugs intent on destroying America and we the people. Denial is no longer an option, nor is failure. It's time to stop the anti-American influence in America with an orange revolution such as that occurred in the Ukraine in 2004. There will be naysayers who will say this could never happen or is not feasible. However, as recent history has proven, orange revolutions are very effective. There is great power in massive numbers of peaceful protesters demonstrating solidarity for a common cause of righteous good. As an example, reclaiming our republic, securing our future, and removing and arresting convicting known traitors and usurpers. The final and most important question is, what are we the people, sheepdogs, are going to do about it? And if not now, when? Thanks for hearing me out. And thanks to the Post and email for continuing to step up and fight the good fight. May God bless and protect all of you and yours and America. I'll close with a quote from Winston Churchill. If you will not fight for right when you can easily win without bloodshed, if you will not fight when your victory is sure and not too costly, you may come to the moment when you will have to fight with all the odds against you and only a precarious chance of survival. There may even be a worse case. You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves. Amen. That was very good. Let me put that link in the chat room for you. That was a terrific article. This is in Give Us Liberty 1776 and so forth. So how are we in the chat room there? Hello, everybody. Hi, Dame. Nice to see you. Yes. Now, did you hear that? This is time now. I agree. We're not sheeple. We're sheepdogs. if there are a bunch of sheep around, the sheepdogs are required to get them to move. Again, excuse me. I remember, Dame, we were at the first 9/12 march, the first Tea Party march, when there were 2 million people there, 2.1 million people there. And that was the original march. There were a lot of quote-unquote birthers, constitutionalists right there. There were a lot of signs there about Obama's eligibility. That was really a pure, spontaneous rally not controlled by anyone. Since that time, that energy has been harnessed and taken over with the almost silencing of the issue on the Constitution. And you can see this is where the parties are going. This is where, Republicans and Democrats are going. The thing is over because he released a fake document. So it's time to get action. I know that No Nonsense Nancy out there will agree that it's time to shut them down. It's time to stop them cold. And it does have to be pretty much repeated, or I think a constant shutdown of D.C. We need to get our trucker friends involved. Anybody who has a CD or is out, a CB who's out on the road needs to start getting in touch with our trucker friends, because we're going to have to do this. And it's true. We have to be massive numbers. We have to have people rotating in and out to stop this down. Other places to stop things are also very important. And we're going to have to, in my view, be pretty nimble on our feet. There's so many things we can do, everything from the small signs you carry on in your car on the morning commute to the sticky notes campaign that you may have heard about, little sticky notes on gas pumps and so forth about, thanks a lot, Obama. Other various things, buying the T-shirts about that have Obama's forged birth certificate on there that says learn how to Photoshop all in one step, those various things. But I think the action is necessary because, in my view, we have to force the investigation. And this is for somebody like Alan West. How do we do this? A constant delegation needs to visit him every single day and see him every single day, probably follow him around every single day, in addition to people being outside and not letting anything happen until these issues are addressed. The Supreme Court, why should they be deciding anything right now on the fate of our country or setting any legal precedent or rushing as fast as they can? They do need to be shut down as well. Yes, bikers, truckers, everybody with their RVs ready to go. And, bring your supplies. I mean, my little car has a tent that's made for the car. And, I'm just going to bring all my supplies and so forth and so on. Permits, okay, but no. We'll have to see how that goes. Yeah, I agree. Kagan and what's-her-name ought to be disbarred for refusing to recuse themselves as well. So we cannot vote this out. Nothing's going to happen in 2012. Really, you know, we need to keep going on this. I think our best bet with Obama in 2012 is to keep him off the ballot. And for that, we've got to, I think, organize what I'm going to call right now a 50-state strategy. I'm going to take Howard Dean's name. And one of the ideas would be to, for every single state, go through all of their procedures on when you can challenge somebody's name on a ballot, whether in the primary and or the regular election. If we have 50 of those actions, or let's say, you know, maybe 10 actions in 50 states, if we have 500 actions all ready to go within the correct time where all of these things have to be reviewed and decided and so forth, we need to tie this up so Obama cannot be on that ballot. I wanted to mention just one other thing in passing before I go to break and then before we go to our interviews with Jerome Corsi. Is the CRS memo, the Congressional Research Service memo that was requested by somebody in Congress to basically deflect attention away from Obama's eligibility, has one startling conclusion, which it says that it confirms that there is no formal vetting process. This is the loophole in the quote unquote the loophole in the Constitution quote unquote that they think they found is that there is no process for vetting. So this CRS memo, which covered Congress's tail, basically said that as long as it's the only possible way to make sure that vetting occurs is for each of the states to pass legislation to control the vetting of the presidential candidates. So that's what's been happening, but the administration and Congress has not been standing up for their own states and pushing this kind of legislation. In Arizona, Jan Brewer, you know, just became a part of everybody else and said, well, we've got more important things to deal with, like continuing, I guess, the usurpation of the country. So it's quite interesting what is going on right now. There's a marked shift. I think we all know this. We're not going to vote out anything. The Tea Party is going to remain recalcitrant because they get their funding from the mainstream Republicans. Republicans are not going to do anything about this issue. There is no one candidate that's going to challenge Obama. You know, Corsi does not have good things to say about Trump, but, you know, Trump is probably the only guy that could have done that, but they're all of them are not honorable men. The other thing I did want to mention is this vetting process was not necessary back then when the Constitution was created because there were several levels of protection. One, it assumed that anyone who would run for president would be honorable enough not to try to do it and hide, you know. Chester Arthur didn't actually run. He was vice president, got in through an assassination, but he did hide. That's the first protection it was, and which is what I think took Americans by surprise, is no one could believe that anyone could actually do this and try to get away with it. The second is that we assumed a free press, a free media, and that would get the information out there for an informed electorate. That didn't happen. The electorate is not very well informed, but certainly this didn't help at all. And, you know, there were all kinds of other strategies that were used. But the media was also supposed to be one of those tools for information and for the selection of the right person. Then the Electoral College was supposed to be filled with quote-unquote honorable men and women who were selected to then select, you know, to verify the votes. And those honorable men and women at one time had the authority to do the research and so forth. But I think there was a bit of a class thing where people felt that they shouldn't be making decisions for other people, but the process was to make sure, the purpose was to make sure the process was followed and the credentials were there. Now, if you're an elector, you can't vote any differently than what your state voted or face a penalty. This opens up a couple of avenues for civic action, one of which is who those electors are, and another of which is to remove all state laws off the books that require them to vote the way their state votes or do something that allows them to do some additional investigation, something like that. There's some openings here. So then finally, after the Electoral College, the final check was Congress. And Congress, of course, did not do that check in January 2009. And we go all the way back to this startling realization, and I think JBJD came up with it, is that basically the chair of the Democratic National Committee was Nancy Pelosi, who was then Speaker of the House, who is technically third in line to the presidency. So, number one, she was used on signatures because who's going to question the Speaker of the House, third in line to the presidency? All this credibility, right? The second aspect of this, which again got me thinking that we can't vote out this corruption, is that Pelosi was in there just in case Obama and Biden were not qualified. The likely secession in the 20th Amendment would be that the Speaker of the House would become the president until a new president was elected or a president will have qualified. So this obviously was a long-term thought-out plan. The corruption is deep. They have the entire network working with them. And so therefore, it is our time right now to throw off the government that has become antithetical to the aims of securing life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. All right. I'm going to take a break right now. I'll be back for just a minute of chat, and then we'll move right into a Jerome Corsi interview. Here we go. Be right back. hello again. Welcome back to Revolution Radio. We just had reading a great article that was in the Post and Email, and also Give Us Liberty 1776 by Jack the Marine. It's time to get going. We cannot vote out the corruption. I'm going to play the Corsi tape with Alex Jones. Maybe some of you heard it yesterday, but this lays out his proposed FBI investigation. Considering the corruption, what are the chances do you think he's going to get this going? If Corsi's work is backed up by tens of millions of us saying, get this investigation going, force the investigation, then we can help Jerome Corsi. I don't care how many millions he makes on his book. I don't care. I don't care that he used all of our work. I don't care. But that this book is out there and our millions who are very informed, we don't have to start over again with this information. We can help move this, but let's move this. So let's think about ways in which we can push Corsi. I want you to listen, and it's possibly in this interview, about how and who was investigating Barack Obama in Kenya. Now, we all know all of the information there, but let's go with Corsi for just a bit. This is about a 30-minute interview. Now, I'll be back shortly after that, and if we have enough time, we'll play his interview today with a couple of friendly skeptics. Here we go. Here's Jerome Corsi on Alex Jones yesterday.
The only people who don't want to disclose the truth are people with something to hide.
Dr. Corsi, thank you for joining us. Please reveal to us your discussion with the Donald.
Yes, Alex. In fact, I just got off the phone with him a few minutes ago. Donald Trump called today, and of course, he, as usual, is pumping me for information. He wants very much to know what I'm doing next. And I said, well, you know, Donald, we published an article in World Net Daily, you should have seen it, about how the Kenyan government searched for 1961 birth records and determined that 1961 birth records were criminally tampered to destroy evidence of Obama's birth. He said, well, I didn't see that. I said, well, give me your people. I'll send it to you. He said, well, that's all right. I'll look for it. I mean, he is completely uninterested except to know, you know, what I'm doing, what's next. I indicated to Donald Trump, and this may be breaking news, too, now the criminal charges, we're working with a top expert in scanners, worldwide expert, who is preparing, will be reporting on it in WND, WorldNet Daily, hopefully the end of the week, maybe Monday or Tuesday at the latest. Criminal charges are going to be filed, criminal complaints filed with the FBI, charging that the long-form birth certificate released by the White House on April 27th is fraudulent. And I've been working back and forth with the expert on that. I've read the charges. They're very credible. They're going to be very difficult to answer. I told Donald Trump that's coming. So Trump, you know, if he's feeding information to the White House, he certainly knows what I'm doing, and I'm not hesitating to tell him. I'm happy to let the White House know what I'm doing. I published Where's the Birth Certificate with that title, hoping I could get the White House so frightened that they would release this long-form birth certificate, which they did. The president has now endorsed his own involvement in the chain of evidence, saying he sent his attorney out to get it, coming down to the White House press room and saying, this is my birth certificate. Now the administration rises and falls on the authenticity of that document. So Donald Trump, I think, I told Donald, I said, look, Donald, if you want to be credible here, I mean, told him basically he didn't accuse me or you know, badger me for saying that I thought he was working with the Obama White House, but I said, told him out direct, you know, if you don't want people to be suspect, Donald, of what role you're playing in this, then get out there vocally, question the document, say you want forensic testing of the original paper, long-form document that's in the vault of the Hawaii Department of Health, say you want the Dr. Sinclair's records released, see if Ann Dunham was a patient, and say you want the records of Kapilani Hospital released so we can see if Ann Dunham was ever there. Family changed their tune. It was originally that Obama was supposed to be born at Queens Hospital, Now it's Capilani. Let's see the patient records for Ann Dunham. Trump didn't seem interested in any of that. But he was very interested in knowing what I was up to next.
All right. I want to pump you on the Trump issue because we can get some key intel out of that. But for Internet viewers at PrisonPlanet.tv, this is all linked up in your WorldNet Daily story. Also, Paul Joseph Watson's story at PrisonPlanet.com if radio listeners want to see it. But for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, I'll show folks a document cam shot. Here is one of several documents that you sent to me a few days ago. Now your report's out today. Republic of Kenya, Office of the Vice President, Ministry of State for Immigration and Registration of Persons. This is the classified document you got them to release. And it says, however, there is no evidence within our records that supports this position. The information we in the ministry have is that some documents have been removed by unknown persons at unknown dates or are missing from birth registry records, thus denting the prospects of uncovering the facts of this matter. So it goes on that they're saying that numerous intelligence reports have suggested he might have been born in Mombasa, the President Obama, at the Lady Gregg Maternity Wing of the Coast Provincial General Hospital. And they go on the letterhead of the government with the phone numbers there, and say that it's been removed. It's been tampered with.
Criminally.
Criminally. They go on to say it's criminal. So this is a pretty powerful smoking gun here. And then if I was Donald Trump and you went on this big syndicated radio show and dropped the bombshell and it was read by millions of people all over the web, our stories, our videos, went completely viral with that interview with you last week, and then Donald Trump calls you up Tuesday, and if I was innocent and you were saying that I worked for the president and I was Donald Trump, or that I was conduiting info months ago when you gave me the book, if I was Donald Trump, I'd say, Corsi, how dare you, pal? Or if I was guilty, I would just, ignore it. Or if I was innocent, I'd probably ignore it. I mean, those are the different things you would do. You wouldn't call up and just pump for more info and be nice. That's a pretty creepy phone call you got. Can you describe what Donald Trump said to you, how long the conversation was, how he behaved?
Well, the conversation lasted about 15 minutes, and Donald Trump was friendly. He was, did not confront me aggressively that I said I think he's working for the Obama White House. I've been out there on your show, Alex, very publicly about that. And Trump was saying, his purpose of the call was he wanted to know what I was doing, what was next, the story going to get any traction. And I told him about the documents from Kenya that we've been publishing in WorldNet Daily. The documents, I was there in Kenya in 2008. I've continued to receive documents from Kenyan sources. You see some of them right now. You're reporting on them. We've reported WorldNet Daily criminal tampering of birth records in the 1961 birth records in Kenya to disguise or remove Barack Obama's birth records in Kenya. So I thought that was an explosive story. Trump wasn't real interested in it. I told him the criminal charges are going to be filed with the FBI by a top expert. Again, Trump was interested in that, but I said to him, he went back and forth and said, Mr. Trump, are you going to get back into the story? I told him, said, people are saying, you got this big payoff from NBC. It sure looks like you dropped out over that payoff in relationship with the White House. And Trump said, even when you're as rich as I am, it's $60 million times two, $120 million isn't chump change. I said, well, I understand that, Mr. Trump. Nobody's offered me $120 million recently. But you can understand where a lot of people think that compromises your position, maybe why you dropped out. He said, I didn't drop out. I said that the documents, I still want to know if the documents are real. Mr. Trump, if you're not out there aggressively demanding that these documents be authenticated, then, in fact, people are going to say you dropped out conveniently in your work. I even told him your criticism on Fox News of the Republican candidate sounds like you're carrying Obama's water, saying the Republican candidates are so poor you may have to jump back in the race. Is that your message, or is that the message of the Obama White House?
Stay there, Dr. Corsi. Let's continue to look at this. For those that don't understand how media works, let's look exactly why Trump is a suspect. We'll be right back. All right, going right back to Dr. Jerome Corsi.
Oh, man.
author of the book, Where's the Birth Certificate? You know, you look at Donald Trump and you study how media works. We had this stewing birther movement gaining steam every month. The polls going up and up and up to where a majority of Americans, Republicans and Democrats, questioned his providence. And that was a big problem. So Trump comes out, builds it to a head, and then right as it comes to a head, there's the big media spectacular to discredit the whole thing. And then we saw the next big stunt a few weeks later to then wipe that controversy off the map. Obama daringly gets Osama bin Laden. He's just so wonderful. And then that launches the next phase of starting a war with Pakistan. And the fact that Trump comes out and says, Ron Paul can't win. And look at these Republicans. They're pathetic. And the fact that he's given 2-1 to Democrats and hangs out in New York with Bloomberg and Schumer. I mean, it's so obvious that this guy, from my perspective, is a ringer. And you've got this government money going to NBC and then right into Trump's pocket and that ridiculous preening peacock show, The Apprentice. And he's on the phone with you wanting to know what you're going to do next. Very bizarre, Jerome Corsi. I mean, if you're a discredited kook, and he's been discredited, you think he would be fighting to continue to expose, but instead he wants to lay there like a possum.
Well, I said to Trump today on the telephone, I said, look, get involved. If you want people to believe that, you know, you're still on the side of disbelieving Obama, then ask for authentication. Nobody's seen the original document. In a court of law, the best evidence would not be this electronic birth certificate the White House released. Electronic birth certificates didn't even exist in 1961. The best evidence is in the vault in the Department of Health in Hawaii, the original birth certificate, if it exists. And we can't see that. We can't get it subjected to forensic analysis. Said Mr. Trump pressed that case. He seemed uninterested. He said, you know, if it got to be an issue again, he would jump back in. I said, well, Mr. Trump, jump back in now. And, you know, he said, well, do you have any mainstream media supporting it? I said, as far as I'm concerned, Mr. Trump, I've run these campaigns before when I did Unfit for Command with John O'Neill and the Swift Boat Bet, published by myself, Obama Nation, 2008. It was number one bestseller for a month. Didn't have a lot of support. Then New York Times ran a front page article blasting the book. I said, I'm not counting on any mainstream media, and I'm not getting, and I'm not expecting to get invited to the White House Christmas party. But said, Mr. Trump, neither should you be expecting to get invited to the White House Christmas party. Get out there and pound this issue if you want people to believe that you're really on the side of wanting the truth and asking for where's the birth certificate. Go on the record. If you don't believe that this is legitimate, say it's a fraud. He wouldn't do it. He was not unenthusiastic and not responsive when I made those suggestions.
Well said. For me, the biggest piece of evidence here, and I know
and,
as a
also, Alex, he asked me to call him before we made our next move so he'd know what we were doing. I mean, the whole call was, what are you up to? And please tell me first before you do it. Now, I mean, I'm happy to talk to Trump. I'm happy to tell him what I'm doing.
Did he comment on the fact that you've called him out?
No, he never made a comment about it. Didn't say a word.
But you brought that up to him.
Well, I didn't say I'm out there saying it. I made the charge to him. I said, Mr. Trump, if you don't get out, I said, Donald, really? We're kind of on a first name basis at this point. I said, Donald, look, if you don't get out there and start doing this, nobody's going to believe that you're really opposing Obama. It looks like you're supporting Obama. And I told him that even with I saw him on Fox News, I believe it was yesterday, Trump is saying, attacking the Republican candidate, saying he's going to get back in the race if the Republicans keep with such lousy candidates. I said, that sounds like Obama's line. Are you feeding Obama's line to the American people? He said, well, they are lousy candidates. I said, look, if you're going to attack the other Republicans, you're not going to get anywhere convincing people that you want to run as a Republican. Trump said, well, should I run as an independent? I said, Mr. Trump, if you run as an independent, you're going to 100% convince everybody that you're in cahoots with Obama, trying to split the vote of the Republicans so that the Obama wins.
Said, look, that casino Obama? Owner, that good old boy, good fella, knows exactly
of course.
exactly what he's doing. Now this was a short segment, long segment coming up, and I want to preface this question now and then come back and have you answer it. For me, I think one of the biggest pieces of evidence you've got of this being fraud is not just the Kenyan government saying their records were tampered with criminally and expunged on Obama, and that their intelligence agency does have intel that he was born there. Bigger than that is that you were told 3 weeks before by a source inside the government of Hawaii that it wasn't there, now it's there. And you say you have the email evidence with Joseph Farah telling him that. That's not giving up a source. You need to release all that. We'll be right back. And in closing here with the plugs, remember, the alternative media is financed by your support. The establishment has done everything they can to kill this book, because where there's smoke, there's fire. And this book deals with his entire bizarre background and all of the weirdness and just the, I mean, the tranny nannies, the all the different names, the different daddies. It's now come out that his purported dad, the State Department wanted to get him out of the country because of all the fake marriages and pregnancies and women, and he looks nothing like his father. Dr. Corsi's broken all that down. The book, Where's the Birth Certificate? The Case That Barack Obama is Not Eligible to Be President. And remember, I'm nonpartisan. I don't like Bush. I don't like Obama. I don't like any of these New World Order corporate front men. The point is, this guy's got something he's hiding, and he's got that snake coiled up around him with this whole con on the public with Donald, the Donald Trump. So I hope you get the book, Where is the Birth Certificate, at Infowars.com, and check out all the other books and videos we carry and the films that I've produced. You can also call us toll-free to get it, 888-253-3139. Before you answer my big question, because I want to recap it for folks that just joined us, Dr. Corsi, where are you guys at WorldNet Daily, Joseph Farah? Where is WND.com with the economic warfare attack that the White House mouthpiece Esquire put out, saying the book had been recalled, Farah had said it was all lies and discredited, and that everybody should send their books back and you'd give them their retail price back that would bankrupt you guys, to try to create a run on the bookstores of people demanding their money back so they pull the book? How badly economically has it hurt you guys? I mean, it was a number one New York Times bestseller before it came out. How much damage has this done to the book?
Well, I think, first of all, if the attack was vicious by Esquire, and it was intended to destroy the marketing of the book in the first hours. Esquire later said it's satire, and it wasn't very funny. And certainly didn't appear as satire. It appeared as a news story, and you could reasonably read it and have been fooled by it. Some radio hosts that interviewed me were fooled by it and started out their interviews asking why we pulled the book. Look, World of Daily is going to sue Esquire. Joseph Farah has announced that. So the economic damage had to have been important and severe. Certainly the intent to damage was important and severe. World of Daily will do just fine. The book is selling, but we had to scramble very hard to reestablish the market and to reassure distributors that the book had not been pulled. The book is alive and well. It's out there everywhere in bookstores. All the electronic outlets are selling the book. It's still rated on Amazon.com. Take a look. It's out active all through the market. And it was a vicious attack by Esquire aimed at, I guess, projecting what the White House wanted to believe what was true. I think the White House hoped the book would be withdrawn, but I published this book with Joseph Farah because I knew he had the courage to keep the book out there. A mainstream media publisher, one of the big publishing houses, that I've published with big publishing houses before, the White House might have intimidated them by calling up and, threatening not to give them access to authors or whatever to get a major publishing house to withdraw the book. But this case, I knew that there was no chance it would happen. Joseph Farah was as resolute as I am that the book is true. We still want to know where the birth certificate is, and we're taking every possible step to demonstrate Obama was not born in Hawaii. He was born in Kenya. I'm convinced of that now. And here you've got a situation where the birth certificate released by the White House is a fraudulent document, which means criminal fraud was committed in the White House. President Obama is personally identified in the chain of evidence, and he sent his lawyer out to get this document. President Obama showed up in the White House press room to say here the document is. He's directly involved in the chain of evidence. And the White House, the future of the Obama presidency, will depend on that document remaining authentic if it's proved, as I believe it will be, that the document's fraudulent. It's hard to see how the Obama administration will remain in office.
Well, this is only getting bigger, and people don't buy anything that the White House puts out there. And I know you're under such attack, Jerome, but you normally, you know, will tell folks what your dead reckoning says. But isn't it suspicious that right on the heels of them with the stunt birth certificate that is as phony as a $3 bill, and you're coming out with the evidence they're going to file these criminal charges, that then magically they kill Osama bin Laden, but then the helicopter blows up and eyewitnesses in Pakistan on national Pakistani TV say the SEALs got on the helicopter and it blew up, that it didn't blow up once on the ground, it blew up as they took off. I mean, that's this whole thing, you can just see the scripting and the White House lying, saying they were in the Situation Room watching the raid, Hillary covering her mouth. They admit that was fake. They admit bin Laden didn't fight back, didn't use his wife, throw the body in the sea. Within minutes, they said, we have the DNA proof. It takes days to do it. I mean, Doc, do you not have some suspicions there? You're not going to cross that bridge.
Well, I just haven't gone into the OBL situation. I've got my hands full with the birth certificate issue. But, you know, what I'm going to comment on is that here for 3 years, Obama spent a couple million dollars with lawyers. He even moved his lawyer from Perkins Coie into the White House to be his White House counsel. And that, to me, is very suspicious, fighting the release of this birth certificate. And then a book is going to be published. So if this document was available 3 years ago, why did we have to go through all this nonsense about the certification of live birth and the short form that attorney Robert Bauer, together with Anita Dunn, his wife, who was the attack dog against Fox and any other media that dared to raise questions about the Obama administration. They're now paid by the White House. Anita Dunn is gone. Bauer's still there under the government payroll defending Obama in eligibility cases. And suddenly this document miraculously appears, long-form birth certificate, that Abercrombie, the governor in Hawaii, said wasn't there about 6 weeks ago. He couldn't find it. Well, that's where, to go to the comment you asked about, Alex, before the break, I got a call from one of my top intelligence sources in Hawaii that warned me that the document had been forged and inserted into the logbook in Hawaii. In fact, a person who was very connected in the department went in, related to the department, let's say didn't work for the department, but a source, let's say married to the department, went in and read us the document. I knew it was Kapi'olani Hospital. I knew it was the doctor was named. I didn't know Dr. Sinclair's name. The person who went in and read it was so frightened by what was seen, they ran out of there about as fast as they could, but enough information came forward that we knew the document had been forged.
All right, let me stop you. This is such a big deal that I want to put the question back out there, and I'm not like the type of talk show host unless I really am, you know, shocked, but I already knew about this info, so I'm not shocked. I've already, you know, had the revelation. Who'll, ooh, ah, now listen up. This is big. Folks, understand the magnitude of this. But all of that is a prerequisite here. You're somebody who's always very careful about what you say and do, going back for decades. You're somebody who really does do the research. You're coming out saying there's no doubt it's fraudulent. You're going forward saying you're going to attempt to file criminal charges on this. And you revealed here for the first time last week that you have a source who 3 weeks before the president went public, went in, was able to see it, and said it wasn't there before, your source inside, your mole. It's been added now. You have the emails with Farah proving that these discussions went on. You can't give up the source, but you've got the proof with your Farah emails. And Farah says, what do we do? And you say, let's go ahead with it. This is exactly what we want, Joe. We've got him now. Now, I'm paraphrasing what you said last week. Take your time. Walk through exactly what happened 3 weeks before Obama released the latest long-form, supposed, final real birth certificate, and what the new intelligence source, the new information that the intelligence source is giving you. Because, folks, I mean, what Dr. Corsi's saying here You know, they could have a grand jury come after him. He could be pulled into court. He could be forced to release this. He wouldn't be doing this right now if this wasn't true and going on. So I hope you understand, we're now entering the realm of total proof, not just that he fought it for 3 years with $2 million, moved the lawyer into the White House who was fighting it, stonewalling, saying with his operatives, Mr. Maddow and Mr. Slimeball, that this is the birth certificate 2.5 years ago. I mean, just desperate activity on their side. The thing stinks to high heaven. The Republic of Kenya classified document release that, yes, the Obama records have criminally been removed. There's evidence he was born in Mombasa. I mean, here it is. He's releasing it. Of course, he wouldn't be doing this now if he didn't 100% think he had the bona fides. So slowly go over your mole inside as much as you can give us. And when are you going to have Farah come out and substantiate this verbally, swear to it publicly? I believe you. You wouldn't be doing this.
Well, I did even more than that. I'll give you the exact chronology. It was just before February 24th. I got a call from my source in Hawaii and said that someone had gone into the logbook, a very trusted bowl, and the long-form birth certificate for Obama had suddenly appeared and was inserted in the book, read it enough to know that Kapi'olani Hospital was identified as the hospital, knew a doctor was listed, didn't have time or was too scared to get the name of the doctor. Now, on February 24th, I'm looking at it right now, I drafted an article. It's date-stamped February 24th at my computer. I could send it to you, Alex, as proof. The article was written, says, WND warned to block possible future release of fraudulent Obama birth record. And this is February 24th. It's date-stamped this way in my Microsoft Word file.
So you even wrote a story that you didn't release.
We didn't. We decided not to release it because we hoped the White House would release this document. See, we named the book Where's the Birth Certificate to try to frighten the White House. I knew the White House could not tolerate if anybody read this book. People read this book, Obama.
And their hopes that they had released it was falling through, and so you forced them out in the open.
Yeah, and I knew that Joseph said, we're not going to publish this story, tipping them off that we know a fake document has now been created. Let's get them to release the document.
You've got to release that original story.
I'll send it to you. It's date stamped February 24th. You can see in the log to this, I created the story on February 24th.
Okay, but I don't want to publish it first if it's World
Net. You can publish it first. If you want to, I'll talk to Joseph. Maybe we can do a story on it immediately, but
See my point. The fact that that's the proof,
yes,
that you knew this was going on before it happened. Man,
paragraph of the story is WorldNet Daily has been warned that certain government officials in Hawaii have been contemplating releasing fraudulent Obama birth records that WND knows it has in its possession information that will be able to prove the forgery. We had information that will prove the forgery. See, even when I wrote this February 24th.
Unbelievable.
I knew they were going to release it, and I knew we could prove it was a forgery.
Unbelievable.
And we didn't publish this article because we didn't want to tip off the White House that we knew they were going to release the fraudulent document that we could prove it was a forgery. I'll send you the article.
Well, we need to, absolutely, if you send it to us, I'll have one of my writers do a report on it right now, and then you
sure
can follow up or vice versa. I don't care. But for me, and I'm asking you if you agree, Dr. Corsi, that is such incredible proof,
right,
that you had the intel inside and that you knew it was coming just a few weeks before and had this article ready. I think you should write a breakdown explaining why you guys didn't release it.
Let me read you what else I wrote. Originally, they were planning to release the fraudulent birth certificate in the run-up to the 2012 presidential election. We took away one of their October surprises. Joseph and I said, let's make this book, Where's the Birth Certificate, so explosive that they have to release this now. I want to read you these two paragraphs quickly. WorldNet Daily's confidential source further warned that any fraudulent Obama birth records originating in Hawaii will be sufficiently expert that the forgery can only be detected by forensic examination of the original, possibly not from digitized copies or photographs circulated of the forgery on the Internet. It turned out that the forgery was much poorer than we thought it would be, and we have enough, even with the digitized copy the White House released on its website, to prove it's a forgery. The next paragraph, WorldNet Daily cannot release the identity of the confidential source without risking the person's life.
Unbelievable. Now, again, read this for those that have not seen the unpublished report that you had ready, but Farah and you decided not to release so that you could catch them with their pants down. Read us that headline and as much of the story as you can to us.
The headline said, WorldNet Daily warned to block possible future release of fraudulent Obama birth records. And WorldNet Daily has been warned that certain government officials in Hawaii have been contemplating releasing fraudulent Obama birth records, and that WorldNet Daily has in its possession information that will be able to prove the forgery. According to a top-level WorldNet Daily confidential source with access to officials within the Hawaiian government, the long-form birth certificates issued to the Nordyke twins one day after the Barack Obama was born create a barrier for anyone attempting to produce a fraudulent long-form Kapiolani hospital-generated birth certificate for Obama. What I'm referring to there is we knew that they were going to continue the document as 10641, and which was registered August 8th. 3 days later, the Nordyke twins were registered August 11th. They were 10637 and 10638. From the time of the certificate of live birth, the forger picked the wrong number. They've been locked into that to the beginning. And what my source in Hawaii said is, press the Nordyke numbers, because that shows that anything fraudulent that the Obama administration releases is the long-form birth certificate. As long as it's got the original 10641 on it, it's a fraudulent document.
For those that don't know, that was a big old-fashioned numbering machine.
One of those Bates automatic machines that incremented by one. And I have the 1955 article from Charles Bennett, who was the guy who created, he was the Register General of Hawaii's Department of Health. He created the system of birth certificates. The article specifies that the birth certificates were numbered immediately after, the Registrar General stamped it. It went into the books with the number he stamped. And it's impossible for a birth certificate that was registered 3 days earlier to have a higher number as a birth certificate than birth certificates registered 3 days later.
Well, I'm just speechless right now. And not only did you write this 3 weeks before Obama released the birth certificate, you called everything in the article that was unpublished. What happened? This is incredible.
We had the document read to us from within the vault in Hawaii. The person went in and read the article, and we knew what it was on the document because it was read to us.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the absolute key. Your same mole previously had said it's not there, but now they call
you
and they go, suddenly it's there.
That's right. We've been told when Abercrombie was looking that it didn't exist, and then it suddenly existed.
And that's confirmed by Abercrombie thinking he's off record with the reporter who kept the recorder going and just added it as a footnote in his article that Abercrombie said, yeah, we thought it'd be there. It's not.
And I think this is equally important to what we've released. You've got the Kenyan documents there, Kenyan government stationery. Grandma Sarah has been saying for years Obama was born in Kenya. The Kenyan government took it seriously. Kenyan government determined 1961 birth records in Kenya were criminally altered so as to erase Barack Obama's birth certificate records and to disguise the fact that they'd ever been there.
Well, I'm going to say this.
They reported, you got the second document. The Kenyan government even told that to Ranenberger, our ambassador in Kenya under George W. Bush, was inquiring about Obama's birth certificate. George Bush administration had reason to think Obama was born in Kenya. Not just recently, it goes back to George W. Bush inquiring through Ranenberger to the Kenyan government as to whether Obama was born there. The Kenyan government sending back a response formally to Rand, those are the documents you've got in your hand, saying we don't have Obama's birth record, but we have reason to think it was criminally destroyed.
Yeah, here's the request from the U.S. ambassador for President George W. Bush on birth records for Senator Barack Hussein Obama. Now we're learning that this was being taken so seriously even then that the Republican leadership, the president, was looking at it. Here's the other document. When they went to try to find it. It had been criminally removed. I mean, when you look at this, no one, knowing this was going on, would not release the long form, instead spend $2 million, move the lawyer that's on the case into the White House. They've been haunted by this. They've been terrorized. Instead, they have that joke, that fraud, Slimeball Matthews, Mr. Maddow, all of them, I mean, Rachel Maddow, sorry, get up there and say, this is the birth certificate. There's no such thing as a long form, insulting Americans' intelligence. Then we get the long form. It looks like it was made in Crayola. And then now, oh, my, I mean, this is so huge, Dr. Corsi.
It is huge. And, you know, I've had sources in Kenya, continuing to today. I've had sources in Hawaii. I've hired private investigators. I've been working with intelligence experts on the islands in Hawaii. I've been given the inside track on this story from the very beginning. And now even you've got the Immigration and Naturalization Service file on Barack Obama Sr. verifying what I've said from the beginning, and that was they never were married. It was a sham marriage from the beginning. Ann Dunham had been frequenting Bill Lederer's bar on Hotel Street in Honolulu. She got pregnant. She wanted Barack Obama to be the father. Barack Obama wasn't interested. Ann Dunham flew off by herself to convince the family in Kenya she should be the princess. That's the story.
Incredible. And then Harvard comes out and confirms it. The State Department confirms it. All these wives, fake marriages, babies everywhere. I mean, any moron, that's what they say in Kenya. Obama looks nothing like his daddy.
And also you've got the Immigration Naturalization Service files rejected Obama's marriage to Ann Dunham as grounds on which he could be extending his stay in the United States because it was a sham marriage. They couldn't find a marriage certificate like I can't. The two never lived together. Like I pointed out, even the birth announcement was the grandparents' birth announcement. They weren't entirely convinced the baby was Obama Sr.'s to begin with.
Doc, we're almost out of time. You would not put yourself out on a limb. Obviously, if you were lying, they would try to trump something up. The White House has already arrested members of the press for whistleblowing, now calling it espionage. You are in danger. You are politically being assassinated. They're trying to assassinate your character. They're pulling out all the stops through their surrogates with dirty tricks to destroy the book. They are acting like people who are 100% guilty. Then any examination of the evidence shows they've been covering up and are desperate. And
I want people to read the book. That's the thing. They're trying. The White House knows that if the American people reads my book, Where's the Birth Certificate? The case Barack Obama is not eligible to be president. Barack Obama will be removed from office. He's not eligible to be president. I prove it. And what's so damaging about the work I do is in the book, you'll see 125 exhibits and glossy pages. I show you my original documentation.
And it's all available at InfoWars.com if folks want to support all the work we're doing here. Dr. Corsi, I know more is coming up soon. If you send me the World Net Daily article,
You'll have it as soon as we're finished.
All right, well, we'll put it up. Just give me the green light, and I'll do it with a link to all your reportage at WMD.com. But in closing, where are you planning to try to file criminal charges?
I'm going to report on it. I decided that the expert will file the charges himself, and I'll report on it. The charges the expert is a top scanner expert worldwide. He's going to file the charges this week. I'm writing up the report hopefully for this week or next week. I've got a lot of radio, but we're working on it. The WorldNet Daily staff is aware of it. We're working on doing the reporting. Criminal charges filed with the FBI that the long-form birth certificate released by the White House on April 27th is a fraud.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
The only people who don't want to disclose the truth are people with something to hide.